with that.
I understand, man. We've had hell where I live in the middle of nowhere, man. And since this whole thing where we're not going out and playing anymore, and we started doing these on Zoom and trying to, you know, do some music stuff every now and again, just the streaming service from here sucks. So we've been dealing with all that shit for the past 4 or 5 months. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Feel your pain.
Yeah.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Just appreciate you having me on. And
well, thank you all for that joining us.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. It's how you been keeping busy? It's been hell for you guys for sure. Yeah.
Doing this.
Yeah. It feels so nice to have a project. You know, we started doing these, late December, I guess, of last year. And we got 12 or 13 into them, and we were doing them all on the road. We were doing them either in hotel rooms or backstages or, hell, on the tour bus. We had a portable rig. We could just, we could set up and do it anywhere. Well, you know, fast forward to here we are now, and we finally figured out how to get these going, not in person, which has been easier in some regards because, you know, I where do you live?
I live, a little bit north of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. I would have guessed that, but
yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's not often we cross paths. This has made it a little easier to do it. So
yeah.
Anyway,
but yeah,
I tell you what, man, it's everything sounding good on our end. We can hear you. We can see you. So,
okay.
I'll go ahead and we'll do the thing. You're listening to A Couple In with Cody Jinks and, usually to my left, in person, but to the lower left on the screen today is Josh Thompson, our longtime bass player.
Hey, Ryan.
Go on.
And, to my top left, our longtime do-it-all, if it needed to be done, needs to be done, Bobby Keith Kilgore. Hey, Bobby Keith.
Hello, man. How are you?
Doing good. Coming from Nashville, Tennessee, turning the knobs. Seth Noseworthy, there's a joke in there, our front of house engineer turned podcast engineer. And today we have, I've been looking forward to this one because you were the first driver NASCAR circuit that we've had on the show. We've got Ryan Blaney. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking your time. You are having a hell of a year. I imagine you're staying pretty busy right now.
Yeah, it's not been too bad. You know, we had the first month of our season was normal. And then, you know, all the virus stuff hit and shut us down for a couple months. And, you know, luckily, we were one of the first sports to kind of get back going, you know, back there a few months ago. And we've been knocking races out left and right, whether it's doubleheader weekends or, you know, races on a Wednesday night. But yeah, it's been nice to start traveling again. I hate sitting around. I'm sure you know the feeling of, you know, you're used to being on the road, and that's all I grew up with. So sitting at home, not in the off season, was a little bit weird, but it's nice to be almost to our playoffs. We only got 4 races left, and we'll get right into our playoffs, which has been good.
Well, and you know, hey man, not, you know, knock on wood or praise Jesus, you're sitting pretty well right now, man.
Yeah, not bad. We, you know, we've had some things happen to us, which is just racing. I mean, you're going to have bad days, you're going to have good days. And unfortunately, you know, Sunday was a bad day leading the damn race and getting wrecked. That's not for sure. Especially when it's your teammate, that's not good. But those things happen, and it wasn't nothing intentional, just an unfortunate deal we were in there.
Oh, I know.
That hurts to see, man. I was watching it. I was like, man.
Yeah, that really hurt. That definitely sucked. And that didn't really happen very much with the teammate stuff. But like you said, it's going to eventually happen. It's not inevitable. But hopefully all our luck gets turned around here for the last 10 weeks. That's really all I care about. So.
Yep. Coming down to crunch time, man. And what's fun to me as a sports fan, and we're all big NASCAR fans, man. Well, 2 years ago, we made both Bristol races, got to play one of them.
Yeah.
We've done, we did Daytona last year. We've done several at TMS, which is not far from where we live. But, as a sports fan in general, everything's still weird right now because of, you know, attendance, you know, at y'all's events, attendance, you know, you've seen what the NBA's done, what, you know, NHL's done. But we're glad there's sports, you know.
Yeah.
We're all, most of the people we have on here are athletes, and we definitely consider you guys athletes. So I'm just glad there's some freaking sports on, man.
I'm right there with you. When we were, you know, sitting around for 2 months, nothing being on. I'm from Ohio, so I'm a big Ohio State fan, just, you know, and obviously college football wasn't on, you know, wasn't scheduled to play when everything was going on, but it's looking worse and worse for those guys here recently. And, but yeah, what the NBA has been doing, at least they're playing. All those other sports are tough, you know, like our sport is one of the few, like us in golf, you're by yourself when you're doing it, right? I mean, you can really space each other out, but the big problem is, you know, NBA and especially NFL guys are in each other's faces, and that's tough. But hopefully, you know, they find a way to get it going and be, you know, safe while they're doing it. But yeah. I definitely missed them.
How proud are you of your team and NASCAR just in general of how they were able to get this back and you guys be the basically the first major sport to get back at it?
Yeah, I was proud of what NASCAR was wanting to do. You know, we were getting word what they were wanting to do pretty early and kind of their set date of when they wanted to try to proceed with getting the season back going. And I mean, I think NASCAR and all the states and governors worked really well together on compromising and, you know, shortening the amount of team members that are going to the track, not having fans anywhere. We've had fans at a handful of races this year, kind of a limited number, but I was so happy to just get back going, just do something. You know, I was going crazy sitting around and not being able to do anything. I'm sure everybody was, but I thought NASCAR did a good job and the teams and all the states and governors on working something out. Nice.
Love it. I know, man, me too. Well, you know, it's just nice to see. It's glad, I'm just glad all the sports are on TV, but, let's dive into your sport. And, I'm not going to get, too far in depth with, you know, your past and how you came up and why you're a race car driver and all that. You know, it's stuff you can find on Wikipedia. A lot of our fans though might not know how you got your start. That, you know, we're talking with Ryan Blaney, number 12 Ford, Team Penske. Dave Blaney, your dad?
Yeah, that was my dad.
Okay. Your Uncle Dale?
Yep.
Okay. Your grandfather Lou?
Yep. Yeah, all racers.
All racers. So if you can't not have this in your blood, man.
I know it. You know, it's something I was born into. My first memories were at racetracks, you know, watching dad go around there. And, I started when I was 9, just kind of the right time. That's a pretty common age. 5 to 10 is pretty common. And, you know, luckily it just worked out, you know, luckily it worked out for everybody or for us that we got some good opportunities, but, And there was times, you know, that dad would always ask me, is this what you want to do? You know, are you sure you want to do this big commitment? Not only on the financial side, but sacrificing a big part of your social life, especially when you're in high school and things like that. I never hesitated. You know, it's just what I wanted to do is what I was the best at, out of all the other sports. And I'm 5'9". I can't really go play other sports competitively. So, just lucky it worked out. But yeah, I just grew up in it and came from a family of racers and dads. You know, he's high 50s now and still races. And my Uncle Dale's the same way. And my grandfather Lou raced until he was, you know, 60 years old. And hopefully I can do it for that long. We'll see.
And that's the cool thing about, you know, not that what we do is a sport, but what we do in general, but what you guys do as a sport, you can do it well into your 50s, 60s. You know, you can race your entire lifetime, like you can play music your entire lifetime. There's not so much of a shelf life for what you guys do.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, the two similarities there between what we do and, you know, if you go to play basketball or NFL, that's a huge physical contact sport that's going to beat your body away. But, you know, you can be competitive in NASCAR till you're, you know, in your 50s. And, you know, Mark Martin was winning races when he was over 50 years old. And you see a lot of, you know, older people out there running local dirt tracks and things like that. So But yeah, you know, you guys can do the same thing. You know, you guys can go for a long time, and I think that's great. You know, longevity of your career. That's it's pretty fortunate.
We might need to start working out though, Josh.
I've seen what your pit crew guys do, and I cannot hang.
Yeah, no. You know Wade. You guys know Wade Moore pretty good, and he's the one who reached out. And those guys are incredible athletes. We get a lot of them guys from, you know, straight out of college. You know, baseball players. We have a lot of baseball players, football players. All those guys are crazy athletic, man. It's unreal what they can do. Putting four tires on the thing and putting 20 gallons of gas in it in 12 seconds, that's with five guys, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Something I'd never be able to do.
No, sure. We used to go, it looked like almost like a choreographed dance because everybody's moving to where you don't run into each other.
You know, they practice
stuff
that.
Like that all the time.
Yeah, it's something they practice every day, you know, and they got to be in sync with each other. And like you said, it is like a choreographed dance to not run into each other. And when things go bad, they go very bad because it's, you know, if someone misses a step or a hang, it slows everything down. So those guys got to be really in sync with each other for sure.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to go out to the, wasn't it the Gibbs place, Keith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to go see Joe Gibbs. Complex, good God, man. You know, I mean, like those, you know, you guys have everything at your disposal. You know, obviously you're on a different team, but that was where we happened to be. But, you know, I would assume all you guys with the bigger teams have all that cool stuff. And we were watching them practice pulling the race car up. The pit crew was outside practicing, you know, repetitions, getting the reps in. And, that was neat to watch just itself, you know, but that's how we really kind of got into the whole NASCAR thing was, I don't know, six, seven, eight years ago. We met a guy named Kip Wolfmeyer. He's since retired, but he changed tires. He was on Casey Kane's car back years ago whenever we met him. And they came down and some of him and his teammates came out to see us play. We were playing down in Fort Worth. They were running at TMS. And, you know, long story short, Kip ended up back at my house, which at the time was only about 5 minutes from the track. And it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we were both about cross-eyed after having been to my show. And then, you know, we're just sitting on the tailgate drinking beer, and I had him a driver lined out to get him back to his hotel. And about 4 o'clock, I said, "Man, I said you gotta change tires tomorrow, man. You know, you're gonna feel like shit, and if anything happens, it's gonna be my fault." He's like, "Oh no, man, we do this all the time." Well, I'll be damned if the next day, Casey Kane had tire problems.
No.
And, but I, anyway, I shot Kip a text and I said, "Please tell me this isn't my fault." And he wrote back, "It wasn't me." And I was just like, "Okay, cool. All right."
That's awesome.
I'm not going to make anybody lose their job because they stayed at my house drinking beer till 4 o'clock in the morning. They had to be at the track at noon.
So where do you guys live at now down in Texas?
I'm in Waco.
Josh lives south of me, about 40 minutes down in Boyd.
Yeah. And a couple acres out here, you know, a few houses around.
I gotcha.
You know,
man, I live about 30 minutes south of the Oklahoma line, north of Texas.
Okay.
North of Texas. I'm sorry.
Can you point that out on the map?
I'll point at the Miller Lite right there. We live about 20 minutes from Oklahoma on the Texas side, just north of Fort Worth is what I meant to say.
I gotcha.
But we've spent a lot of time up y'all's way. And like you were saying a while ago, you know, last time we saw some of your guys was in Asheville, and we ended up getting one of your doors to one of your race cars.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we were talking about that before. Did they bring it to the show?
Wade brought three of them totally.
Yeah, and now here's my bitch, Bobby Keith. I know Hot Rod got one. Where'd the other two go?
I got one at my house. Yours is somewhere.
Well, shit, I don't know where it's at. Ryan, y'all brought all these doors and I don't have one.
What the hell?
I'll give you mine.
I'm just jacking with you.
We can get you another one.
Okay.
That's easy.
No, I'm not asking, man. I was really busting Bobby Keith. That's what I was really doing. But
I remember it said in there because we couldn't take it home.
We could because we were doing fly dates. I couldn't. We were, you know, we would fly to meet the bus wherever it was, and then we'd fly home from where we ended the tour. So we, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's okay. This is carry on, you know.
I remember the time he brought one, they wouldn't let him in because the edges were so sharp. And he's like, hey, man, I can't come in. And I was like, no, just bring it around back. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. Huh.
But no,
yeah.
That was super cool of you guys to do that. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. You
know, it's a cool thing, man.
Yeah. If you guys ever need doors or hoods, whatever you need, deck lids, because I mean, after every race, those things get cut off. You know, I mean, we cut it off and pretty much put a whole new body on the car. So there's just piles and piles of the sheet metal, race worn. So that's in plenty of supply.
Do you get sentimental with your cars, kind of like Dale Jr. and like place them random places on your property?
Is it his graveyard?
His graveyard, yeah.
So funny story. I used to be neighbors with Dale. This was a handful of years ago. The first house I lived in, he was about 500 yards across the woods. And I had this little side-by-side, and there's all these trails through his graveyard where he's got all these old cars from different eras that they're junk, and he just throws them out. And so it'd be 2-3 in the morning, we're ripping through these trails drunk on this side-by-side, and I can't believe we didn't hit a car, demolished car. But I don't have any of that. I got a couple old race cars of mine that I ran as a kid. We're restoring one of my dad's cars from the 90s. And actually, we just found a car of my grandpa's from 72 that we're restoring right now. So I got a couple of them that have either been mine or in my family that I hope to, you know, be able to make up pretty nice and keep for a while.
So you got just a couple of the sentimental ones going on.
Yeah. A couple of them that mean a lot. And I wish I would have kept more, you know, at the time. And you don't really think about that, especially when you're a teenager and trying to make it. And you don't really think about keeping some of your old cars that you ran. But luckily, we had a few we can still keep around.
I hear you. Well, let me. This is one thing too, and we can talk about stuff other than racing a little later. But people don't realize how big a rock stars you guys are. It's insane. It's very much like people. You fly on private planes and you come in a couple days before the race, and then you stay in these really cool like tour buses while you're there. And then they, you know, helicopter or private plane you home and just to see the fans when you're walking by and they're at the fences, shaking the fences and you know, like it's like, riot
these are
gates.
Grown 40-year-old men losing their minds.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's crazy, man. It's like looking out of the stage, you know, whenever we're up there and y'all get the same response, man. It's crazy. Is it like that? Has it got to the point to where you really can't go anywhere without being recognized?
That's about half and half. And I don't mind. I mean, I like meeting people. I mean, you like meeting your fans and, you know, you might not be where you are today without them. So, it's really cool to be there, whether they're a fan of you or not. It's just nice to have them there. You know, the thing I look at between what we do and you do, you know, is like, you know, our fans are there, but they might not be fans of you as a driver, but they're there watching, you know, at your shows, everyone's there to see you. You know, I think that's pretty cool, looking out and seeing everybody there just solely for you. You know, us, you know, there might be a 5-10% of them might be your fan.
Yeah.
But,
that's like when we open for Lynyrd Skynyrd, it's like that for us too. It's, you know, there might be 5-10% of them there, but you know, the rest of them are looking at us like, who's the opener? You know, who are these guys? You know, so, but no, it's funny, man, is to see, you know, how everything works there. And fortunately, we've been able to go and, you know, walk through the car haulers and, you know, do the tour through the facilities, go to the, you know, go to the garages and meet, you know, meet a few of the drivers. Like we got, you know, met you the first time, you know, it's just such a big production. And, to see that much of product, it's a moving circus every week. There's so many parts and pieces.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that's what I wish I could show more people of how many individuals go into just putting one car on the track, you know, from people that you never see with, if they're just guys who work at the shop, you know, you'd never see those guys if they're building chassis or, you know, hanging bodies, painting, putting parts together. You never see those guys. They're not track guys. So, I mean, we employ Penske between NASCAR, IndyCar. I mean, we got 500 people working there. And just in that one building. And you might, and I think maybe, you know, 40 of them go to the racetrack every weekend. So, there's a lot that goes in, a lot of companies involved that we get parts and pieces from. We make a lot of our own, but it is a lot larger just as far as the effort that I feel like people who might not know about it very much don't get to see. Because it's more than a car on the track. It's a lot of people that put the work behind it.
Well, and do you think that you have a greater appreciation for that, having started at such a young age and put in the work and the hours with the people that are behind the scenes, as opposed to just, it wasn't given to you, so you recognize the people that put you in place where you're at?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think, you know, growing up watching, you know, at a really young age, being around the race shop with Dad and seeing all his guys when he was running NASCAR, and then growing up, you know, working on your own stuff, just me and my dad, we have two guys trying to get this car to the racetrack every weekend. And nowadays, you know, the drivers, they have a lot of people to work on the cars. Really, the driver, we don't really get to work on our cars nowadays, which it stinks, because that's just what I grew up doing and what I enjoy. But it definitely makes you appreciate it, especially when you were like that at a young age and hands-on and know how much work goes into it. It makes you appreciate those people a lot more, for sure.
You know, you talk about preparing, you know, back then the preparing was getting the car ready. You know, now that you're on the series, what do you do during the week to prepare? Do you recuperate, or, you know, how do you prepare, at least in a normal type season?
Yeah, normal season for sure. You know, it's really half at home, half at the track. You know, in a normal season, we fly out Thursday nights. You know, we spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday there, and we fly home, and we're home for 3 days. So during the week, there's a lot of meetings, you know, a lot of preparation, whether it's debriefing on what just happened in the previous race weekend. We usually do that on Mondays. And then, all right, once we talk about that, that's gone. We're focusing on 6 days from now. And so that's a lot of work between me and my crew chief, who kind of runs everything, makes the calls on the car. A lot of work between he and I on how we're going to unload, strategy stuff. Obviously, different racetracks have kind of different ways you have to approach them or set the car up. So that's a lot of it in the normal world. When we can go into the shop, see everybody, because that's your family. You know, you travel with those guys 36 weeks out of the year. You, like, you know, those 10, 12 guys, they're your family. And, you know, you get really close to them. So it's been unfortunate. We've been kind of banned from the shop here, for a while. You know, they've been really careful with the drivers being in there, and I miss seeing everybody, you know, other than just one day a week on race day. But yeah, it's just a lot of prep work that goes into it. And, some of it is like I've never really had an issue on getting too tired and having to recuperate for the race. You know, I'd race every day of the week if I could. But yeah, some guys do that a lot. And obviously I'm not the biggest guy. I don't really train my ass off or anything to stay in shape. It's kind of naturally been all right. But, yeah, that's a big part of your week. So you have to kind of utilize it. And then part of it's just seeing your family, being home and seeing everybody or doing work around the house, and keeps busy. So, yeah.
You married, single, kids, anything?
I'm not married. No kids. I got a dog. Just recently, I have been single for 26 years, and I just started dating this girl about 3 months ago. So that's new for me. very new. That's a new little journey. But yeah, me and my dog spend a lot of days at the house together, and he's only about a year and a half. But I'm an uncle. My sister had her first kid a year and a half ago, and so that's been cool being an uncle and watching him grow up. That's been really cool.
Yeah, I was an uncle first too. My little sister started having kids before me and my wife did, and man, being an uncle is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's not as tough as being a dad, and you know, one of these days you may be a dad, but being an uncle, you get to just hang out and be fun, you know.
Yeah, I have fun with him and feed him all this stuff, and I just hand him back. That's for now. That's good for me. So
well, does he know about Cars 3 yet? Does he know that that's you?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not yet. Maybe in about another year, he'll be able to figure it out. But he's just now, so they live in West Virginia. And so I see him probably every month. And it's cool because at that age, he does something new every time I see him.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, when did this happen? Like, when did he start doing this? Pretty cool. So, but no, hopefully I'll have to educate him up on the Cars 3 deal. And be like, that's me. I swear to God, that's me.
Yeah. Now,
it doesn't
how did
look
that,
like you.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you, right?
Yeah.
How did that come to be? I mean, that's super cool, man. I've actually talked to my manager about getting into doing something like that, you know, or doing voiceover work or something. Tell us how you got that gig.
Yeah, that was a – now, let's not make it out to seem I'm in, like, half the movie. I'm in, like, 3 seconds of this movie and have
it's still cool. I would take that.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely took it. But how it came to be was, you know, really they came to NASCAR and they wanted two or three drivers to kind of do this voiceover. So me, Bubba Wallace, and Chase Elliott are in this little part. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I remember the first Cars came out. That was one of my favorite movies. And, I came out when I was a little bit younger. So, I jumped on that right away. But yeah, that was just a deal between, you know, the studio and NASCAR, and it was fortunate it worked out. Now, so you've never done any voiceover work before?
No, I did. The closest thing to any voiceover work I've ever done is like doing a liner for a radio station. Hey, this is Cody Jinks and you're listening to,
yeah,
whatever on.
So it's weird, man. So, you know, it's not animated yet. They won't show you what you're doing in your scene. And so you got the guy in there just telling you, all right, how to say it and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm supposed to be. I don't know how to say this because I don't know what I'm doing in this scene. But that was a little bit different, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. We knocked it out in an hour, which was really nice that it was that short. But yeah, it's a little bit different doing the voiceover stuff.
That's cool, man. I hope to be able to do that one day. Anyway, no, I just thought that was pretty cool. Another little fun fact here, and this is all coming back to Disneyland. I've done the car ride, the Cars ride at Disneyland. I've also done the Millennium Falcon ride at Disneyland.
Yeah.
You're a Star Wars fan, right?
Huge. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I heard that. And you have a Star Wars tattoo?
Yeah. I got a couple on my leg, that a good buddy of mine who does all my stuff. He's out in Los Angeles, that he's done. I don't know. I can show you. I'm wearing shorts. I
got
a couple on my leg there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big piece.
Sundown. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, wow.
He did a.
That's the real deal. So,
two
so,
more. Yeah. So.
we're wow. being shown a piece that goes from the top of the knee all the way up to almost the hip.
Yeah.
It is Darth Vader and a bunch of other cool stuff around it. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I got. Luke and Darth, their kind of famous battle scene. And then I got Darth Vader as like a saint looking deal. And I got a few others, and I got my knee done last year, and that sucked. If you ever go get your knee done, that's the worst experience ever. But yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I was able to go on them rides in Disney too. They were a lot of fun.
Well, yeah. Ryan, I do want, let's not let Cody be like, oh, this is so cool.
No, I was going to tell him.
Okay, because he hated Star Wars, has made fun of it his entire life.
No. Nope.
Until about a year ago.
That is not true.
Yes.
It is not true. I did not hate it. I didn't know it. That is not true, Josh. That is not fair and not true, because I had made it to the age of 39 and never seen one. And we went to visit some friends of ours in LA, and they're all Star Wars nuts. And when we came back home, we bought, I guess, the main nine of them. And me and the kids and the wife, we sat down and watched them, one through nine. Just bam, knocked them all out. And I loved them. I absolutely loved them. So I didn't hate them, Josh. I would totally, we used to have a guitar player that was a huge Star Wars fan, and I would always piss him off. And I would always say something like, no, man, you know, I just don't, cause he had a little Darth Vader that rode around with us in the front windshield. And
yeah.
So, you know, man, I'm just not a Star Wars fan, dude. I just, man, I don't like William Shatner. And, you know, for a Star Wars fan, it's like, roll your eyes, you know. And anyway, so we used to
jack. And see, but, to a Star Wars fan, that's hate.
Hate. Yeah, to not know the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek, which I did. I was just jacking with him, you know. But I did. I watched them all and have since watched some of them again. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from. It's like a Western shootout in outer space. It's great.
Yeah. That's a pretty good comparison. I enjoyed it. My parents weren't big fans. And the first one, episode one, came out in 99. So I was like seven. So that, like, to me, seeing that as a kid, I was like, wow. And then it wasn't until I was older that I realized there was some made back in the 70s and 80s. I had no idea until like 3 years later. But yeah, it's just something I've been a fan of. And I got the opportunity to go to one of the premieres a couple years ago, and that was the coolest thing ever. I believe I went to the episode 8 premiere, and that was one of the coolest things. I took my buddy, who's also just as big a fan as me, and we had a ball. It was like you were a kid again in Disney. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
While we're talking about fun facts, do you still wear the same pair of underwear every race day?
Every race day? No. Oh, no, okay. I've switched them up. I don't wear the same pair. It's that got the wrong impression. People were like, are you washing them? I'm like, yes, obviously. But I just got tired of explaining that. So I was like, no, I don't do that anymore.
I got you. So,
Because the first thing they want to ask you is about your underwear. You know, that's like, can we talk about something else than, you know,
my usually underwear? The first thing that people ask is, what do you got to do if you got to take a piss? That's like the first question. Are you waiting to ask that?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We know the answer to that. See, we weren't even going to ask you that, but you brought it up. So tell people what do you do?
Well, you try your best to make sure you do that beforehand. I mean, you try to make sure you do it, but you're stuck in there for 3-4 hours. You know, I mean, you can't get out. I've never done this. I know some people do. They just go, man. You just go. And I've heard it's harder than you think.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. I have not been in that predicament, and I feel too bad for the guy that deals with all my interiors and seats to have him. I'd have to clean it out. I'd be like, no, man, I did something real bad in this. I got this one this week. Yeah. I wouldn't put you through that.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, people always have their, they always have their questions about what you do. And we get questions, you know, it's, you know, similar, I'm sure, to a lot of the questions that you got. But here's one of my favorite ones. And maybe you haven't had anything really weird, but, like, have people ask you to sign something weird or something that made you feel uncomfortable, or, she's like, man, why the hell do you want me to sign that?
Yeah, there's some weird requests, whether it's at the track or like fan mail. Probably the worst one I did, I was young. I was probably 12 years old. And I got two pretty good ones. And the first one was, I was 12 and we were practicing in South Carolina. And this mother and father come up drunk in the infield. And they got like this newborn, this thing's got to be like 6 months, this baby. They're like, hey, man, I need you to sign my baby.
Oh,
like complete Ricky Bobby moment. And I was like, man, I don't know. But I was 12. I was young, and the guy kept persisting, and I ended up signing the baby's forehead.
Oh, my God.
Looking back on it, I would not have done that nowadays, but I was so young and intimidated, and this guy just kept on going.
Well, hey, I would imagine your parents and, you know, raised you to respect your elders, and if it was a grown-up, you know, telling you to do it, that's what you do, right?
You know, I said no at least two or three times, and he just kept on at it. So I was like, all right, whatever you want me to do to get you out of here, I'll do that. So
you've signed a baby.
Signed a baby right on the forehead, so with a Sharpie.
Don't y'all go having that tattooed now.
Yeah, goodness gracious, I hope not. I hope not. Have you gotten asked to sign like an arm and they're going to go tattoo it?
Now I have. There's a lot of my signatures on arms and mostly arms and
there's one on the other place. From that girl.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, we've never shared this story. Yeah, I signed a girl's butt and she got it tattooed. Now my wife knows. Me and Ward Davis, he's a singer songwriter buddy of mine. We were on tour and we were in, St. Louis, and this girl comes out after the show and, she had obviously been drinking and she said, "Hey, will you sign, my right butt cheek?" Ward already signed my left butt cheek. And I was like, well, I guess if Ward did it, I can do it, you know. And Ward and I aren't good together most of the time anyway. It can get like you and, you know, Dale Jr. You're running around drunk on side by sides and dodging cars. You know, it's kind of does that type of thing. But, you know, and she didn't like just fold down pants me or anything, but, you know, it was enough ass hanging out to where I'd sign the right one or whatever. And sure enough, Ward had signed the left one. Okay. We had sold that show out. So fast forward 2 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that.
Right?
We had to go back and do another show there. We started the tour there. We signed her butt. We finished the tour at the same club and she shows back up. It comes and shows us, found us, and showed us her tattoos on her butt of our signatures. So
she must be a big fan. Big fan. That's a big commitment right there. Yeah.
Now, that one was probably the weirdest, and my wife does know about that one, but I signed a prosthetic leg that was thrown on stage one night. And that was
thrown on stage?
Yeah. Wow. We were standing there just playing and there was a prosthetic leg knee down about that big, just chunked up on the stage. And I looked at it and I started laughing. I said, "What the hell do you want me to do with that?" And the dude goes, "Sign it." He's doing that, like waving his hand back and forth, like "sign it." So he's sitting there, he's hopping up on one foot, you know, trying to stay balanced. I pull a Sharpie out and I sign it and I hand it back to him. That's probably the funniest one, I guess.
That's pretty cool though. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
It was nice, you know. It wasn't a baby, but it was.
There's no baby on the forehead.
I got the other one was this was a couple of years after I was 14, and I'm running these late models in this place in Raleigh, North Carolina, not too far from where I lived, and like so the way they did these short track events is okay. All the cars are lined up on the front stretch, facing the grandstands, and like for 30 minutes before the race, you'd come, fans would come in and you'd sign autographs for them. And then they shuffle you out, you get in your cars and you go race. And so I'm strapped in the car right before we're about to go, window nets up, everything, like about to fire this thing up. And this lady comes running from this grandstands pit. I don't know where she come from. And she leans in my car. She's like 45 years old. I'm 14, and she leans in. She's like, "Can you sign my chest?" And I was like, sure. And I think we ended up winning that race that night. So that might be good luck.
I need y'all to go find me a set of boobs to sign. I'm winning tonight.
Yeah, that was one I'll never forget. 14 signing your first pair. So that was
That's impressive, man. At 14, because I probably didn't sign my first pair until I was in my 20s at least. But I did sign a larger gentleman's boob one night. You remember that, Josh?
I try to forget that one.
There was this big old boy. He's probably 6'5", 350. And long story short, he said, "Can I ask a favor of you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Will you sign my titties?" And I said, sure, you know. And he pulls his shirt up, and I signed big old man boob. And he said, "Thank you. A lot of famous motherfuckers sign these titties." No, it's weird.
I haven't had that one yet, so you got to beat.
But you beat me at 14, signing your we'll stop talking about that.
Goodness.
But okay, well, that makes sense, you know. You sounds like you're up for some fun, you know. Is in the 2014 Truck Series season, you were voted most popular driver. Is this because you like to have a good time?
I like to hope so. In 2014, I don't know if I couldn't have that good of a time. I think I was maybe 19 at that time, and 19 or 20. So I couldn't have too good of a time, but I tried to do the best I could. But I do like to have a good time, man. I think it's important to relax and have some beers with your buddies and all that. But yeah, it's just, I think you just gotta be welcoming, man. You gotta be nice to people. And I don't understand. Some people are rude and, won't give fans the time of day. And, I just feel like it's kind of part of our job to do so.
I agree. You know, and that's the second time you brought that up, you know, talking about being where you're at because of the fans. And, you know, after, you know, a lot of times after shows, they'll have to come get me, you know. I'll be out there drinking beer with the fans and signing shit. And, you know, they're like, "Cody, bus is leaving, man. We got to go," you know, because we leave right after the shows. After we get loaded up, we're moving. You know, I'm out there, you know, drinking beer and taking pictures. And, you know, it's something that, you know, you do it when you can. Sometimes you don't always have the time. People may think you're an ass because of it. But, you know, putting the time in means everything, you know, to those people. Because, you know, did you have any instances in your life whenever, you know, coming up, especially doing what you did, coming up and being around it, where there was just somebody you wanted to meet and you finally got to meet them and how important it was to you?
Yeah, I was lucky to meet a bunch of the drivers that I really looked up to just going to the races with Dad at a young age. And honestly, it was really cool being able to race with some of them when I got started in the Cup Series. You know, I still got a race with Jeff Gordon a little bit in his last year, with Junior, obviously, you know, still racing with Jimmy Johnson. I looked up to those guys a lot. And, no, other than that, you know, I got to meet, Sam Elliott, one time a couple years back. And, that was the coolest thing, the nicest guy ever. And I was a big fan. I'm a big fan of his. So, That was a cool moment to where, you know, they're genuine and you can just kind of see the real person. Cause sometimes, like you said, I think it can get, which sucks. You know, you try to give everybody the time of day and things like that, but sometimes you're working, you know, or you're busy, you know, like at the track, if, you know, we're not hospitable to every single person, you know, you kind of can get called an asshole or something like that. And yeah, it's like, man, I'm working. Like, I got to go to my car. I'm trying to do my job, but I think the times you can. But yeah, meeting Sam Elliott, that was one of the cooler, you know, people I got to meet, I feel like. And he was really down to earth and super nice guy.
Did you actually get the opportunity to race on the same team with your dad for a little bit there? Or did y'all ever, were y'all ever in the same race together?
Yeah. So when I got started in 2012, I was running that Xfinity series a little bit, that series, a step below Cup. And making my first starts, and he was running Cup for this small team as well. So we were running for the same team, for a little bit, right there. And then when we never got to race cup together. I remember my first cup start in 2014, we only did two cup races that year with Penske. He was running for a really small team, at the same track, and they ended up missing the race. So we didn't get a start together, but we've run a handful of times together on dirt tracks or things like that.
Yeah.
So a little bit, but yeah, never on the NASCAR side. We got to run together, which stinks. I wish we could have made that happen.
Regardless of where and when you raced him, how do you race your dad? Is he racing you hard? Are you racing him hard?
Oh, he's just another competitor out there, man. I mean, okay. I want to beat him just as bad as he wants to beat me. And I think we've raced together 3 or 4 times, and 4 times, and he beat me all 3. But the one time I did beat him, I'm going to always remember because we were racing for the win, and I beat him by about 4 feet. And so that's something I always have bragging rights over. But I did start second, and he started like 10th. And it was like a 20-lap race. So one more lap, he would have whacked me. Mention that one. I just said, I beat him. Beat my old man. So
it doesn't matter. You won, man. That's right. It. You know?
That's right.
That's awesome that you got to, that you guys got to do that together, man. You know?
And, yeah, it was special. For sure.
And I'm sure that, you know, because my dad never played music professionally. He used to play in the honky tonks and the 70s and 80s, you know, some Friday night gigs and stuff like that. But it was all very amateur stuff with, you know, pickup bands and things of that nature. But, you know, my dad is my biggest fan. I would imagine that your dad is probably your biggest fan as well.
Yeah, he is. He, you know, it's been killing him not wanting to, you know, not being able to come to the racetracks nowadays. And I always enjoy him being there. You know, he was the one, you know, when you got someone like that who's been through it all and it's your dad and they're easy to talk to, you know, you go, I ask him tons of questions, you know, he still helps me out and he's always there if he needs to be. He's backed off a little bit that I've gotten a little older, but I always still like his help when he's there. And first guy I call after the race and we talk about it. But yeah, he's always been there and hopefully will be for a while, for a long time, being able to go to the tracks and just because that's what he grew up doing. He grew up building cars, loving racing. And like I said, he still runs today. So he splits that time between him, his racing still and coming to mine. But this year has been a little tough, obviously. But yeah, he's a big fan of him. And he's obviously a big fan of me, too, which is nice.
So you say he's your first call after the race. So that's before your Monday morning breakdowns with your team and everything. Whenever you and your dad talk after a race, is it him, you know, saying, what were you doing on turn 4 on 168 or whatever? You know, what were you thinking? Do y'all break it down like that? Do y'all get really analytical?
Not very analytical. We just kind of talk about all it was. And if I do something stupid, he'll be like, what the hell are you doing there? What were you thinking? a normal dad talk to you. But I don't know. It's, I always used to do it, or I always would do it when I was younger. And just still do it. And just someone to talk to that understands where I'm coming from. And, but yeah, we'll break down a little bit, some big moments and be like, well, maybe I should have done this here, this year. And, we'll talk about that a little bit, but, don't get too in depth like I do with the team. Cause that's a little bit of a different side of it.
Gotcha.
Speaking of a close finish. With your dad, you know, 4 feet this year at Talladega when it was that close finish. Did you know you won right then or did you have to be told?
Yeah. Talladega, that was exciting. Heck, the last 2 Talladegas have been the same margin. And luckily we've been on the right side of those. We've lost in that way, won in that way, but, I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% positive if we did win or not. Cause you know, in them cars, you can't, you know, look over and see very good. You can see out the windshield and the mirror is really good, but, side to side stuff, that's more just, it's a little bit tougher. So I didn't know, until they told me about 5-10 seconds later. So you're like, do we get it? I don't know. And, so that was, those are good though, because we've come out on the good end of, I mean, Daytona this year, we lost by that exact same amount and just, sometimes a good way or not. But yeah, I didn't know I won that one this year at Talladega until they told me. I knew we were close, but I wasn't 100%.
Yeah, that was great. That was cool to watch, man.
All right, Josh and Keith both, we wanted to try something new. You've already been more than gracious with your time, and we try not to keep anybody too terribly long. But are we going to try a new segment where they've come up with some questions that maybe you haven't been asked 100 million times, because we try not to do that. We try to, you know, be very conversational and stuff like that. But hit them.
Well, so let's go. What's your favorite placed music venue that you've ever been to?
Oh man, that's tough. You know, I'm a big concert guy. I love music. Favorite concert venue. I like, I know you guys have been, have you ever played at the Orange Peel in Asheville?
Oh, yeah, that's a great, man. I like that place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love the Orange Peel. That's not too far from me. I actually saw a metal show up there, when I went. But that's such a cool venue. That area, the whole Asheville area is pretty cool, but. I'd say that's the top one. I'd need to make it to Red Rock, not Colorado, but right now Orange Peel is definitely my favorite.
For a little 1,000 to 1,200 person room type of place, that is a very, very good answer.
Yeah. Very good answer. Yeah. It's a good one.
And it's Asheville as a town is one of our favorite towns to play. We've played everywhere in Asheville. The Great Eagle, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
There's the Great Eagle, the Orange Peel, and then now we play the
Black Mountain
Pigskah Brewery.
We played the Pigskah Brewery, but then we played like an arena or a performing arts center or something last time. So we've literally played like every place in Asheville. Yeah. And I'll let Josh get to his questions next again, but what show did you see? Because I'm a big metal fan.
So I'm kind of a closet metalhead, and as well as loving country music, but I saw this band. They're from Ohio. They're called Miss May I. They're good friends of ours. They're big race fans. I've been able to get them guys out to some races. We've seen a lot of their shows. So, we saw them play, and they were playing with this band called Fit for a King. They're from actually Fort Worth, down there in Texas. So, yeah, they're good guys, and those guys are pretty heavy. So I enjoy seeing them, but it was a heck of a show. Like I said, it's smaller venue stuff. I personally, when it's a heavy metal show, it's the smaller venues I enjoy. It's a little bit more intimate and sounds a little better.
I agree. Absolutely. So. Well, I think that'll go into my next question. Artist or band that you think is underrated, whether they're well known, but you don't think they're well known enough, or somebody like you just said?
Yeah. I mean, those two bands are, like I said, I've liked for a long time. They're good buddies and good people. I mean, I feel like you guys should get the more recognition than you get. I mean, because you guys are really great and awesome, and I've been listening to you for a while, and I hate it when some great bands might not get the recognition that they deserve.
There's so many out there that don't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame, and you hope it's tough. I feel like nowadays, I mean, you can talk about it more, but the kind of the radio music is obviously more popular, but I've never really been a fan of that. I feel like it's a little bit more sure music and a little bit more heartfelt, that stuff that's not on the radio. I feel like it's more repetitive.
So are you guy that like goes to Spotify or are you a Pandora guy, or do you go and seek out specific albums?
I just got like that Apple Music stuff, and I like watching live shows on YouTube, and you can find a lot of great stuff there. And then I feel like when you can search, I think on Apple Music, it's like if you search a band, they'll have similar bands like down at the bottom that I've discovered a lot of, people from that. And I'm a huge Sturgill Simpson fan. I've been listening to him for a while, and the Tyler Childers come about, and big Coulter Wall fan. He's from Canada. Those guys I listen to a lot, and they're kind of a smaller scene type people.
Awesome. Couple more quick ones. Favorite 2 a.m. meal?
I can remember it. Waffle House is pretty good. If you can get to a Waffle House.
Oh, amen. Yep. Amen.
Yeah, that's a good go-to. You ever been to Cookout? You ever heard of Cookout before?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Bag of burgers?
A bag of them. And hot dogs, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good go-to as well.
All right. Last one, Ryan. And I actually heard this today. 3 out of 5 Americans believe in ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't know. Not really. I've had a buddy who like is 100% believe. Like, if there's a, I used to live with a guy who, my roommate was, if there was a creak in the night, he's like, it's a ghost. The house is haunted. That's what it is. I was like, maybe it's just someone breaking in. You know that? But,
which one's scarier?
It's more scary if there's an actual person standing there. But I wouldn't say I really believe in ghosts. I don't know. Probably not.
All right. See, I'm on your train, and Cody absolutely believes in ghosts. So
yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, and Josh and I have been working together a long time, and we've had this conversation several times. But yeah, I do believe in them. But you know, it wasn't my question; that was your question.
No, if you don't mind, Ryan, I got 3 for you. Yeah, four, because you have Body Armor as a sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got to know what's your go-to flavor? Because we drink a lot of that on the road.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's great stuff, man. They're a good company. I've been with them for 3 or 4 years, and it's crazy how big they've gotten in that time. And my favorite one, I like the light version a little bit better. It's a little bit, it's not as thick. But blueberry pomegranate is pretty good. I know that kind of sounds, you know, that's a pretty good one. And if you mix it with vodka, that's really good as well. Just a little hint.
That's Josh pretty solid. Used to be like a Gatorade vodka. He'll have to try that.
No, rum. You put rum. Gatorade in some rum.
Oh, that's
rum.
Right.
Oh. Rum. Oh, lemon, lime, and rum. Mm.
The other ones I got, your favorite video game, past or present? I don't know if you play them growing up or now.
Yeah, I haven't played much in a little bit. I'll tell you what, my most favorite one that I played recently was that Red Dead Redemption 2. It was really good. I remember playing the original one, and the second one was really cool. So that I spent hours and hours on that damn game.
Oh, that was
I think it came out the off season. Yeah.
God.
Josh played it forever.
There was a time that that's all you guys played on the damn bus was Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, because I don't play video games, and I'd walk out and like there's 4 TVs on the bus, and it'd be on all freaking 4 TVs.
Well, you got to get a good angle.
Yeah, man. No matter. Exactly. Any of the guests, they can watch.
I'm glad you guys finally beat that freaking game.
morning person, or are you like a night owl?
Man, I'm gonna be honest. I'm more of a morning person. I don't last very late. I'm up kind of when the sun comes up, and I go to bed pretty early. And I'm in bed by like 10 o'clock. By the time I get done, but if I could be persuaded to stay out later, if certain activities are going on, but, but no, I'm an early sleeper, and, my girlfriend hates it because she stays up to like 3 a.m. and she wakes up at noon. So times are a little crossed there, but I'm a morning guy.
And last one is hunting or fishing.
I love hunting, man. I love to hunt. It's not something I really did much growing up. My dad wasn't really into it, but the last handful of years I've been into it, whether it's turkey or deer. Me and my buddy were hunting this black bear last year, and we never got him, but that's something I want to do this year. But I like bow hunting, like for deer and things like that. I love shooting bow and arrows, and but when I stay on the pond fishing, ain't too bad either. Yeah. Well, that's the bad thing. We were, and I was like, what if this guy comes up here? He was like, hey, shoot him. I was like, all right. Well, I got a crossbow. We'll see if I can get him.
Don't let him come up here.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, hey, that's about all I got. I don't want to keep you too tied up. Ryan, you've been more than gracious with your time. I hope we didn't ask you too many redundant and mind-numbing questions. We normally just try to have more of a bullshit session here. So,
yeah. No, man, I appreciate y'all having me. Like I said, it was fun. It's good to talk to y'all for a bit. And hopefully this stuff clears out and you guys can get back on the road. And I need to come out to one of y'all's shows. I still haven't been. I saw y'all play in Bristol, but that's it.
Yeah. Well, we need to.
But you were a little busy.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made sure I got time, down there, man. Though. Yeah.
But yeah, we, you know, hell, we'd love to start playing shows again, and we'd love to be able to come to a race too. Cause it's right now, yeah. It's kind of a double-edged sword is, you know, we're off, we could go to a race, but nobody can go to a race because of the same reasons we're off. So it's like, damn, man, you know,
yeah,
trying to figure out what we're doing. But, well, hey, you know, you're running fourth right now, in the point standings, and we're not going to talk about anything, or we're not going to jinx you. I just want to tell you that, we're in your corner. We're rooting for you hardcore, and, just have a great rest of the season. And we hope the best for you and your team. And, you know, just holler at us if you ever, well, if we can start playing shows again, you come out, see us play maybe one time, but,
yeah.
But yeah, just thank you again for your time and all the best for the rest of the year too.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good one. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Thanks, all right. You've been a couple in with Cody Jinks. You got Josh Thompson, Bobby Keith Kilgore, Seth Knows Noseworthy out of Nashville, Tennessee. And our guest today, Ryan Blaney, number 12. Y'all check it out. Appreciate you. Y'all have a good one.